Okay, thank you, choir, for that great number. Every Sunday, the choir has a great message and song for us, and we appreciate that good, godly, conservative, reverent music. And as we think of Family Day, this is an exciting day. It's an exciting opportunity. If there's any subject that I think is important today, it is the subject of the family. I wish I had hours to speak on this subject because it is so important. But we won't have that much time. But this morning, I would like to think about a picture of God's family. You know, I remember a number of years ago looking at an article in the Milwaukee Journal. And it said, what was Milwaukee like in 1958 on a Sunday morning? And they had a picture of a father, a suit and tie on, a mother with a nice dress and suit on, and a hat. They had a little girl, nice little dress on, nice little boy, nice little suit on, and they were going to church. Things have changed. Things have changed. It was amazing. The Milwaukee Journal said, this is a typical family in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, 1958. You know, that's just a little bit over 50 years ago. But that would be a far cry from a typical family in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, or Muquonago, Wisconsin, in 2014. We live in very troubled days, and the brunt of all the trouble that it's taking is the brunt of it is take is on the family. And the family is the key to a future of any society, for any civilization. You know, I was thinking, you know, if you could picture in your mind, I was thinking in my mind, well, how would you picture a typical German family? Well, in my mind, I would picture, well, there'd be a man and a woman and one child. That'd be a typical family in Germany, or maybe zero. My son is in Wales, Great Britain, and a typical family in the past in Wales has been mother, father, probably one or no children. You think of China today. What would the typical family be in China? Well, with government regulation, it'd be a man and a woman and one boy, they would hope. That's be a family in China. You know, the question is, what would you think of as a typical family in America today? Well, that's an amazing, bewildering thought today, isn't it? How would you picture that? You know, just a few years ago, you would have pictured a typical family as a father and mother, and, you know, maybe a couple kids and, you know, a badminton rack and a tennis racket, golf clubs, football, soccer, ball, you know, whatever that might be. But now we don't even know what a typical family is. You know, there's a fella I just heard recently, a fella said that came up with that there are 16 different genders. Did you know that? Wow, our world is really going crazy, isn't it? My Bible says God made them male and female. But you know, today I'd like to say, well, what would be a picture of God's family? Not an American family, not a German family, not a Chinese family, not any of those things. But what is the picture of God's family? A family according to the Bible. And there's so many things that we could say about that today. But that's going to be our subject today. And we're going to look at 2 Timothy chapter number 3. And we're going to look at a couple verses there and give us a picture of a family according to God's picture. Now, a couple things I don't normally have the verses on the overhead, but rather than get you all trying to find these verses in the Bible and not being able to find them, and we thought we'll just have them so you can all can see them. And secondly, I am getting over a cold, and I've been on an antibiotic for a number of days, so I'm fine, but I might, hopefully I won't cough. So if that happens, I'll have to do something else that I don't like to do, and that is take a drink of water. So please excuse me for that. And here in the Bible, in 2 Timothy chapter number 3, we have a great verse in the Bible that gives us a picture of the family. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 15. And it says, "And from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus." And that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures. Now we want to get this picture correct. Okay? "And from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures." Now the word here, when we think of the word child, this is a very definite word for child in the Bible. This is the word that refers not to a 5-year-old, not to a 10-year-old. This word refers to a child that is an infant. And if we could put that word in there, we might be able to understand it a little bit better. It says, "And from an infant thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus." Let's just pause for a prayer and ask God to bless this message. Lord, now I pray for your Holy Spirit to be with us, to help us, Lord, to give attention to the most important subject on hand, our families, our children, their future, their eternity, the future of our nation, future of civilization. And Lord, now help us to see your plan clearly and how great and timeless and good it is. And might there be, Lord, the result of families who will take up God's plan for their family and find faith in Jesus Christ, the only Savior of the world. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So we have here a picture of God's family. What do you have? You have a father, and you have a mother, and you have a child. Now think about that. Let's think about that. What does the Bible say about a father being involved in teaching the Bible to children? Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 4, it says, "And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord." You say, that's the wife's job. Oh, really? The Bible says that in God's family, it is the father's primary job to be a spiritual leader to make sure that the children learn, not religion, not the catechism, the Bible. The Bible. Secondly, obviously, is the mother. You know, when we think of mother, I mean, we use words like, oh, you know, she's just mothering them. Well, exactly. How important is a mother in teaching the Bible to a children? The Bible says in Titus chapter 2 that about the mothers, that they may teach the young women to be sober, to be love their husband, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient, to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. The word of God. I can think of my wife reading the Bible to those little ones every day, opening up the Bible. At nap time, opening up the Bible and praying with them. At night time, having reading books to them and then reading the Bible. And then tucking them in bed and praying with each one of them. They all had to wait, you know, when there's a big crowd. It took a while to get them to bed, you know. Good thing they were spread out, you know, but it could take a long time if they were all 10 of them would have been little ones. But a mother consumed with giving her child the Word of God. And of course, then you have the children. Notice, in Psalm 127 it says, "Lo, children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is His reward." The Bible tells us that every child has been that comes into this world has been entrusted by God to the parents. For what reason? To raise that child for God. What a serious thing. What a privilege. Let's think of the plan. God has a plan. It's right in this verse. "And that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures." From a child thou hast known the holy scriptures. You know, you realize that we need to be reminded about how important the Bible is. I thought that it would be good to give you a couple quotes about some great men in our history about what they said about the Bible. Here's John Adams. One of our early presidents said about the Bible, "Suppose a nation in some distant region should take the Bible for their only law book, and every member should regulate his conduct by the precepts there exhibited. Every member would be obliged in conscience to temperance, frugality, and industry, to justice, kindness, and charity toward his fellow men, and to piety, love, and reverence toward Almighty God. What a utopia, what a paradise would this region be." John Quincy Adams said this, "So great is my veneration for the Bible that the earlier my children begin to read it, the more confident will be my hope that they will prove useful citizens to their country and respectable members of society. I have made it a practice for several years to read the Bible through in the course of every year. I usually devote this reading the first hour after I rise every morning." This is what George Washington Carver said, that great African-American scientist and inventor. He said, "The secret of my success, it is simple. It is found in the Bible. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths." As long as we're on presidents, Abraham Lincoln said this, "Without divine assistance, I cannot succeed. With it, I cannot fail. I believe the Bible is the best gift God has ever given to man. All the good of the Savior of the world is communicated to us through the book. But for it, we could not know right from wrong." What a great statement by now Mordecai Obadiah. This little book, the Bible, it has said everything there is to be said. Everything is implied and anticipated in it. Whatever one should like to put into words has already been said in it. And then, be interesting to hear, what does Daniel Webster say about the Bible? "Is there anything in my thoughts or style to commend? The credit is due my parents for instilling in me an early love of the scriptures. If we abide by the principles taught in the Bible, our country will go on prospering and to prosper. But if we in our posterity neglect the instructions and authority in the Bible, no man can tell how sudden a catastrophe may overwhelm us and bury all our glory in profound obscurity. Wow. And that great educated Daniel Webster said this, education is useless without the Bible. The President Woodrow Wilson said this, I am sorry for men who do not read the Bible every day. I wonder why they deprive themselves of the strength and pleasure. A man has deprived himself of the best there is in the world who has deprived himself of this knowledge of the Bible. Isn't that amazing? As we think of the state that our nation is in, and we think of how our nation today thinks about the Bible compared to the great founders of our society, it is no wonder that we are going in the direction that we are going. And so the Bible tells us, train up a child in the way that he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Train up a child in the way he should go. Where would we find that? There is only one place, and that is the Bible. The Bible says as well, Proverbs 22, verse 15, it says, foolishness is bound in the heart of a child, but the rod of correction shall drive it far from him. The Bible says, and remember our text, and from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation. Notice the Bible says, foolishness is bound in the heart of a child. A child, their whole soul needs the truth and the wisdom of the Bible. The Bible. So, there's the training, there's the teaching, and there's the living. Paul said to Timothy, we don't have this verse up here, talked about the unfeigned faith which was in thee and in thy grandmother, that in thee also. And what the Bible is saying is that not only does the Bible need to be taught, but the Bible needs to be lived. It needs to be lived in mom and dad, but also the Bible, not only should it be taught, it should be reinforced by training and discipline and example, but it's also important that the Bible not be undone. It's important that it not be undone. Notice this verse in the Bible. Blessed is a man that walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. Do you know that the teaching of the Bible can be undone in the heart of a child? You know how it can be undone? It can be undone by exposing them to many of the ungodly things of society. It can be undone by allowing them to be taught and receive a training, education that is contrary to the Bible. It can be undone so easily in this world in which evil is so readily available. But you know, The Bible picture of a father, a mother, instilling in their children the Word of God from the earliest of age. You know, my wife tells me that a mother, if she would read the Bible 5 minutes a day to a child, that mother could read the whole New Testament in 1 year. Just 5 minutes a day. Reading the Bible to a child. Of course, it obviously means much more than that. And we may get there. But in Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 4, you don't have this verse. I like to read this verse, what it says about teaching the Bible. And these words which I command you this day shall be in your heart. And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and then when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. What a great truth. Saying, you know what? Teach the Bible all day long. A promise this verse has. From a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. You know, there's a great there is a great promise following the Bible. You know what the promise is? Here it is, Proverbs 22:6, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. How many know that verse? Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. You know what that verse says? It does not say that they will sow their wild oats and then they'll come back. Didn't say that. It says, train up a child in the way they should go, and when they will are old, they will not depart from it. You know, this is a great promise to start following the Bible. This is a great promise to start following the Bible. Putting it bluntly, where do you want your children to spend eternity? Putting it in another way, what do you want your grandchildren to be like? I mean, these are vital issues. You know, we live in a day in which we are blasted with the idea, live for yourself, live for yourself, live for yourself, live for yourself. Don't worry about tomorrow. But the Bible is always thinking about the future. I heard a sermon just 2 weeks ago by a great preacher on the family. And you know, let me tell you, the introduction to the message was this. He said, you know, if people were following the Bible, the churches would be full, not empty. The churches would be full. Because all the children would be there, and all the grandchildren would be there, and all the great-grandchildren would be there, and all the great-great-grandchildren would be there. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. What a great promise. What a great promise from the Bible. It's true. The product. What does it say? The product of training up a child in the way that he should go. What is the product of teaching them the Bible? It says that he might have faith in Jesus Christ. He might have faith in Jesus Christ. Now, let me contrast this with you with a couple different things, because we want to get back to the positive. The Bible is saying that the Bible lived, the Bible reinforced, the Bible taught. The result will be that a child will come to Jesus Christ as their Savior. That's what the Bible says the result is. Faith in Jesus Christ. Now, faith. I want to talk about that for a minute. Do you know? This is a scary fact. They took a recent survey of millennials. Now, millennials is that generation between the age 18 and 38. Okay? If you do your math correctly, it was 1960 that the Supreme Court outlawed God from public life. The millennials, ages 18 through 38, they took a survey. Product of public education, product of the media. 44% of those people said that the Bible is a dangerous book. Think about the contrast to what all these great men of our past have said about the Bible. To the present thinking about the Bible. What's been absent from people's lives? The Bible. The Bible is able to make thee wise unto salvation, which is in Christ Jesus. Faith. You know, what is faith? I think there's three things we need to talk about faith. If you'll turn that up. Faith. First of all, know about Jesus. It was kind of interesting. I have some friends who are in Hungary. And this young lady grew up in Hungary. She's a Christian girl. And in fact, her parents are missionaries sent out by her church. But she was leaving Hungary to go to college, and she went to her third and fourth grade class to revisit her teacher and say goodbye. And it was the week before Easter Sunday. And she had a chance to talk to the class, and she said to the class, "How many of you young people know what Easter is about?" And of the class of 24, nobody knew. Some said, "Well, it's Easter Bunny." Some said, "It's a holiday." And one child says, "Isn't it something maybe about Jesus?" Well, about a year ago, I was talking to my daughter and son, Emily and Micah, at a meal. And they had been talking to some children outside of the church, but children that they loved and ministered to. And they were talking about this conversation. They said, "You know, we were talking to some children, and we asked the children, what is Easter about?" And you know what? Those children said, "We don't know." And then I threw them for a loop. I said, "Really?" I said, "You know, when I was growing up, and I grew up in a little town of Delafield, when I was growing up, I don't know of one person who didn't know what Easter was about." And my children looked at me like I was from a different planet. They never thought that there was an America where everybody knew what Easter was about. Well, faith obviously includes to know about Jesus. But that doesn't get you to heaven, just knowing about Jesus. And the Bible will teach us about Jesus, and that should be a subject taught by moms and dads, the children at the very earliest age. But you know, there's something more that the Bible teaches, and it only tells us about Jesus, but it tells us how to be saved. You know what? I knew about Easter, and I knew about Jesus, but you know what? Even in my church going, I never knew how to be saved. I never knew that a person could really know that they could be saved. I didn't know that there was the possibility that a person could know Jesus Christ as Savior and know they're on the way to heaven. I didn't have any idea of that. The Bible not only teaches about Jesus, but it tells us how to trust Him. And that it is by personal faith in Jesus Christ. But you know, and we'll maybe get to that a little bit, but there's another point. A child brought up on the Word of God will not only know about Jesus, and they will not only know how to be saved, but you know what? Thirdly, this is going to amaze you now. They will want to be saved. They will want to be saved. You know, a minister at the University of Wisconsin, one day I was talking to this young man. And I was talking about salvation, talking about Jesus Christ. And the next week I was on campus again, and he came and he talked to me. And he says, you know what, I called my mom. And my mom said it's okay for me to talk to you. And that was good. And he said, but my mom said that when I was 13, that she decided that she wasn't going to make me go to church anymore, and that it was all up to me. And I said, okay, how did it work? How did it work? I can't remember this fellow's name. Maybe it's Clarence. I say, hopefully your name isn't Clarence. I says, Clarence, how did it work? You know, the Bible says no man seeks after God. The Bible tells us that every man left to himself, except for somehow God working in their life, every man would choose to go to hell. No man seeks after God. I said, Clarence, now you had all these years not to be forced anything about God. I said, how you doing? If you died right now, Clarence, where would you go? Oh, I'm sorry, Clarence, your name. There you go. You must know I like Clarence. Okay. I said to him, Clarence, if you died right now, where would you go? He'd say, I'd go to hell. I says, well, how good did your mom's formula work? Just letting you do whatever you wanted. He said, I guess it didn't work too good, did it? I said, now, Clarence, you're at this university. I said, and hopefully this won't offend you. I says, but you know, about 98% of what you're being taught here is contradictory to the Bible. And you're letting all of that influence your thinking. I said, what are you doing to get the truth into your soul? He said, nothing. 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 And so I said, your mama's philosophy didn't work too good, did it? The Bible says, train up a child in the way he should go. And when he is old, he will not depart from it. You see, when a person comes to know the Bible, it's not like the skeptics say, oh, you're forcing them. No, you know what it is? When a person comes to know the Bible, they will want Jesus Christ. They will want Him to be their Savior. They will naturally come to their parents and say, I'm a sinner and I need Jesus Christ as my Savior. It will be the natural result. The Bible says it. It says, from a child thou hast known the Holy Scripture, which are able to make thee wise, not foolish. Wise to faith in Jesus Christ. You know, that's an important thing. What is faith? The Bible says this. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. You see, faith, look, if you look at the next slide, faith is not merely knowing about Jesus. Faith is not merely believing as true the facts about Jesus. But saving faith is to personally trust Jesus Christ with your sin and your soul and receive him into your heart as your Savior. That's faith. Not knowing about how to be saved, but a personal turning of trusting our sin and our soul to Jesus Christ. And the Bible says, you know what the result is? The Bible says the result is a spiritual birth. John 1:13, which were born not of blood, nor the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. A birth into God's family, a real birth. How real is this new birth? I'm going to give you this little testimony by a young man in our church. It says, I accepted Jesus Christ as my Savior when I was a young child. And that specific event has had a huge influence on every aspect of my life since then. Growing up with parents who were also believers in Jesus Christ helped me recognize that my parents were God's authority in my life. They loved me, protected me from harm, and cared for me. And made perfect sense to obey them and submit to their leadership. While I am far from perfect, ignoring or rebelling against my parents was never a desire I have had. When someone finds satisfaction, meaning, and purpose in a true relationship with Jesus Christ, he will have no reason to search through and experiment in our dangerous culture for answers. The effect of faith in Jesus Christ. I have another testimony from a teenager. Said this. I'm paraphrasing what she said, I accepted Jesus Christ when I was 10 years old. And ever since, I have had a desire to obey God and submit to my spiritual authorities. Wow. It's real. It's real. And it continues. It continues from generation to generation. Here's the verse, a great verse in the Bible. Deuteronomy 6:2, and that thou mightest fear the Lord thy God to keep all his statutes and his commandments, which I command thee, thou and thy son and thy son's son, all the days of thy life, that thy days may be prolonged. Here's the great truth. Now you have three generations, right? Thou, thy son, and thy son's sons. Now this is the picture. This is the Bible plan, the Bible picture of a family. Father and mother have come to Jesus Christ as Savior. Now some people don't come to Christ until they're older. But even then, now they can start raising their family for God. Here's a testimony by a man and a wife in this church that came to Christ at an older age. The Word of God is essential to me as a father because I had no example to follow being raised by a single mother. I need God's instruction of how to lead my family as the man of the house and know that His perfect will is always the best guidance. My desire is that my children will also understand how God has blessed our family and that a godly lineage would extend for the next four generations faithfully serving Him. This is his wife's testimony. Becoming a Christian has given me a direction and vision for my children. The Bible gives me everything I need to fulfill my high calling as a wife and mother. Knowing that I am washed from my sin by the blood of Jesus Christ makes me desire that my children are saved and walking with Him. Here's the Bible picture. Father, mother, train their children in the Scriptures. They come to personal faith in Jesus Christ. There's another father and mother over here that train their children in the Scriptures, and that child comes to faith in Jesus Christ. This saved child and this saved child in God's plan get married. Now they do the same thing. They train their children in the Bible, and their children at a very early age come to personal faith in Jesus Christ. And then they, as they grow up, they marry a saved Christian person and who have that same love for Christ and the Bible, and they raise their children in the way of God, and they get saved and they live for God. Whoa. Think about it. There's a solution for all of society. Right there. As simple as that. And we'll go on and on and on. And you say, what does the Bible say? Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. There's a simple solution. That's a simple picture of God's plan. But you know, everybody has to start somewhere. Everybody has to start somewhere. If you're an adult and you have not come to personal faith in Jesus Christ, you know about Him, you believe certain truths about Him, that isn't saving faith. You have to personally receive Him as your Savior. You have to personally turn to Him. You have to personally receive Him as your Savior. And when you are, that moment you personally receive Him, you are born into the family of God. You become a new creature. And guess what? Now you know that God's Word is true. And you're going to raise your family according to the Bible. And you're going to teach your children the Bible. And you know what? They will come to faith in Christ. And they will live for Him. And then they will carry that on to the next generation. It's not maybe. It's not maybe. It's merely following what God has said. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. You know, this will be my last comment. I was 18 years of age when I came to Jesus Christ as my Savior. I knew about Jesus. I knew he died on the cross for my sins. I knew that he rose from the dead. But just knowing those things didn't make me a Christian. I had to come to a place where I realized that I was a sinner. I had to come to a place where I realized that I sinned because I did have a sinful heart. I had to come to a place in my life to see that my life was not pleasing to God. I had to come to a place where I had to admit that I had to admit I was on my way to hell, and I deserved it. And I had to come to a place in my life where I realized that I couldn't change my life, but that Jesus could. And so it was there on that day, October 31st, 1968, I got on my knees. I asked Jesus Christ to be my Savior of my sin and to be my Lord of my life and come and give me a new life. I received Him, just like the Bible said, as my Savior. A direct, purposeful decision in my life about Jesus Christ and who He was needed to be in my life. And you know what? The Bible says, but as many as received Him, to them gave you power to become the sons of God. I became a child of God. Not because I was some great person, but because I was a sinner who repented and turned to Jesus. And you know, After I came to the Lord, one of the things that I looked forward to, I looked forward to the day that I could have my own family. I looked forward to the day that I could have my own family and I could teach all my children about Jesus Christ and salvation. And that each one of them would accept Christ as their Savior. And that each one of them would want to live for Him and serve Him their whole life. I look forward to that day. I was excited about what would happen if I could follow the Bible. I guess I'm old enough now to be able to say at 65 that every one of my children have come to accept Jesus Christ as their Savior. Every one of them, as far as I can tell, love Him. They want to obey Him. They want to serve Him. They are glad that they're Christian. They are glad to obey the Bible. They are glad to be able to serve Christ with their life. And I would imagine that every one of them has a desire, if God wills, that they someday would have a family so that they could raise all of their children for God. And all of their children will come to Christ as Savior. And all of their children will raise their family for God. And on and on and on. Because God has a perfect plan. And it's been His plan from the beginning of time. And it works. It works. It has never failed. Men have failed. Men have failed to obey God. Men have failed to follow out His plan. But God's plan works. And I'm excited about that on this family day. To paint a picture for you of God's family that works. That has guaranteed success. You know, that's a big statement to make. That is really a big statement to make. I'm a parent. We've had 10 kids. And one can be as different from another as you can believe. It is the hardest job in the world to raise kids. But God has a plan that works. And I want to encourage you today. You can start the plan. You can start the plan by accepting Jesus Christ and finding out that it's real. And that Jesus Christ is alive and that He can give you a new life. And that you can tell your children about that and they can have a new life. And that they can grow up and they can tell their children and raise their children. Sorry to say, federal government has nothing to do with it. They won't be able to raise any taxes to find out some program to do it. Because this is the program that God has that works. So today, as we close, I encourage you, you know, even right there in that pew, you could bow your heart before God. You could humble yourself before God and say, you know what, I deserve to go to hell. I am a sinner. And I believe that Jesus died on the cross for all my sins. I want to trust Jesus alone, 100% alone, with my sin and my soul, and take Him to be my Lord and Savior. I mean, yeah, it's as simple as that. It's as hard as that. But it's as real as what the Bible says. But as many as receive Him, to them that shall become the children of God. Personal faith, it's not church faith, it's not neighborhood faith, it's not Baptist faith, not Catholic faith, it's personal faith. Only you can do it. And I'll encourage you, that's how it starts. That's how it started for me. That was a great day in my life, greatest day in my life, October 31st, 1968. There's many other people here today could point to that day that they accepted Jesus Christ, but you might be one who has not come to that place. Your family needs you today. Your children need you today to come to Jesus Christ. Your soul, your eternity needs you to come to Jesus Christ. Has nothing to do with joining any kind of a church. Has nothing to do with any religious ceremony or motion. This is between you and Jesus Christ. Would you trust Him today and begin this great process that God has set for mankind? Let's pray. Lord, now I thank You that You said, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I thank You that, Lord, You said, he that cometh to Me I will in no wise cast out. I'm thankful, Lord, that You said, come unto Me all ye that are weak and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. I thank You, Lord, that You said, look unto Me all ye ends of the earth and be ye saved. And Lord, I pray even right now in the quietness of this moment that, Lord, that You would give faith to those precious souls right here, right this moment, to turn to Jesus Christ in 100% dependence and to trust Him with their sin and with their soul and their eternity. For He alone died for all their sin, that they might become a child of God and experience the new birth and have a Christian home that will follow Your pattern. And so, Lord, work in every heart. Might it be that turning point today for that special soul. And while our heads are bowed and eyes are closed, no one's looking around. You say, Pastor, today I heard the message and I hear the focus that it's about receiving Christ as my Savior. And today I realized that I was a sinner, that I needed to personally do something about Jesus Christ, not just believe in my head, but to personally turn to Him as my Savior. And here this day, while our heads are bowed, just a few moments ago, I accepted Jesus Christ as my Savior. And I'm so excited about it. I want to share that with you. Just raise your hand wherever you are in this auditorium this morning. Okay? Praise the Lord for that. Who else? Say, today, I personally accepted, called upon Jesus to be my Savior. And I'm excited about that. Okay? I see another hand. Praise the Lord for that. And another. All right? Anyone else? Maybe right there while your heads are bowed and you're thinking about it, they ought to do it. You ought to turn to Him right now. He's waiting at your heart's door. Maybe you're here today. Now you say, you know what? I know. I have accepted Christ. And today I am rededicating our family to teaching our children the Bible. Reading the Bible. Explaining the Bible. Having family Bible time. Getting them in church where they're going to hear the Bible every possible time they can hear it preached. And today I want to rededicate our family to God, to be a family that is teaching our children the Bible from the earliest of age and dedicating ourselves to that. Anyone here today, just lift up your hand. That's the decision God has spoken to you about today. Okay, amen. Praise the Lord for that. Others, yeah, we're going to have family where we're going to be teaching the Bible, okay? I see that hand. Others, okay, amen, let me put that down. Important decision in life. And now, Lord, I pray that You, Lord, as You see these hands and these families and what You have a plan for in their families, I pray that, Lord, You bless them. And lead them in the path of truth and in the path of Your will. And we thank You, Lord, for that. And now, Lord, Just think of all these precious children that were here today, the daycare children, the kids club children, the bus kids children. Lord, we dedicate, Lord, each one of them to you. That, Lord, that you would work in their lives. That, Lord, that every one of them would come to personal faith in Jesus Christ. Give every one of them, Lord, the privilege to be raised in a home where the Bible is taught and a church where the Bible is taught, that they could grow up and live for you and raise a family for you as well. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to have a song.